This year we're looking at the book of 1 Corinthians under the title AD, the Year of the Lord. Our world is obsessed with chasing our dreams and following our ideas and feelings. But instead of being fulfilled, we're struggling and wasting our time. We need a Lord, someone we respect who can tell us what's true and how to live. May these messages inspire you to trust the Lordship of Jesus Christ in your life. Thanks for listening.
I'm kind of nervous slash excited about today. I have a sermon prepared for you today that is probably on the very high end of unusual. But don't be too scared. We've been looking this month about the work of the Holy Spirit. We've been thinking about this for several months now because I really believe that God wants us to expose us more to the working, the miracles, the presence of the Holy Spirit. Remember, it's Father, Son, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was given by Jesus and is now here in the world. Where is Jesus? Well, Jesus is not here, but the Spirit of Jesus is here. And through the Holy Spirit, the presence of Christ is manifested or made known here in his body. And we kind of have a really awkward and unusual relationship with the Holy Spirit because sometimes we kind of feel like the Holy Spirit is sort of this dangerous, sort of loopy cousin of the Trinity. You know, you just don't talk about him much because he kind of does unusual things and might spill stuff on the furniture. So we just sort of, you know, we don't know what to do at times. And so we've been sort of talking practically about that fact. Yeah, okay. Sometimes the work of the Holy Spirit, a bit strange, a bit unusual. Sometimes the way that people respond to the work of the Holy Spirit, a bit strange, a bit unusual. Not really sure. But in spite of all of the things that can go wrong, the things that can go right are so amazing. So we've been looking at that and talking about how when Christ left the earth, his last set of instructions to the disciples was about seeking the presence and power of the Holy Spirit in their lives. Acts chapter 1, verses 5 to 6, Jesus is speaking and he says, "For John baptized with water," like you've had that, "but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now." Like, that's pretty confident saying. Like, you're going to get baptized in the Holy Spirit whether you like it or not. It's happening because that's what you need. So when they'd come together, they asked him, "Lord, will at this time you restore the kingdom of Israel to Israel?" Which is a completely political statement. Like, that's not, Jesus is saying, "Hey, the best thing for you guys right now is the Holy Spirit." And they're like, "God, when are you going to fix the political system? When are you going to get rid of the bad guys and let us finally be in charge again?" And so it's weird that the question is, why do we always turn to human concerns of control? In Jesus' promises something different, and we go, "Yeah, but does that mean we're going to get control back and stop the bad guys?" And Jesus says, he says to them, "It's not for you to know the times or the season that the Father has fixed by his own authority." Meaning they're like, "When are you going to finally take control of the planet again?" And Jesus is like, "That is going to happen. That's not what now is about. I will return, second coming, first coming to save, second coming to judge. It'll happen, and then all of the kingdoms of the world will come under the control of Christ. But that's not what this is about." But he says, he makes this promise to us, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, to the ends of the earth." You don't know those words. Those are the locations very close to where Jesus is talking. So he's in Jerusalem, and it kind of goes bump, 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 like a big, you know, concussion where it just smashes in one spot and it goes out from there in rings of influence out into the wider world. The Holy Spirit comes and you will be different. "Oh, but what about the bad guys?" "You will be different." "Yeah, but what about the..." "You will be different." And this is the thing. It's not about them. It's about me. It's not them. It's me. Why don't you turn to the person next to you and say, "It's not them, it's me." Just say it like that. "It's not them, it's actually me." "It's not them, it's actually..." I mean, it's pretty hard to admit that you're the problem, isn't it? I mean, we generally think when something's wrong with the world, the things that make us angry, the things that make us upset, the things that we want to get our hands on and change, it's always someone else. It's that guy there. "I didn't sleep well. I got not enough coffee. I didn't get enough raise. It's somebody else's fault. That's what's wrong." And Jesus says, "That's not what's wrong. You need something different." I've been interested to know, that, I don't know if you know this, but 2019 has seen more protests in the world than pretty much any year so far. There are protests happening in countries around the globe at scales never seen before. And I've been interested in these protests because I'm thinking, why are people so upset? And what are they upset by? I mean, take this protest in the Netherlands. Isn't that an awesome organized protest? You can guess who is protesting, right? No, it's not John Deere. It's the farmers are protesting. They're super duper angry. They actually blocked all the road networks in the Netherlands, if you know that. There's limited road networks. They're blocking this. Nothing moves. In fact, they drove a tractor up into the front of Parliament and blocked the door. Like, so the farmers are super upset. And you're thinking, well, these good-natured, lovely farmers, they're probably upset for a very good reason. And they are. The Dutch government is enforcing European legislation, forcing the farmers to be less polluting. And of course, that means they're not going to be as profitable, which means they're not going to make as much money. So they're protesting. So these people are protesting to pollute more. Of course, we have people who are protesting to pollute less. We've got all of the people out there this year, probably starting in Australia. We've got people cutting classes, businesses closing down. We're all going to get out and protest. It says, by the way, if you're offended by any of this, just wait. I'll offend you, someone else, in a minute. I love these climate protests. You know, it's time, human change, not climate change. One earth, one chance. And it's all out there. Everybody else is wrong, wrong, wrong. And then I love looking at the photos of the people who have clothing made in third world nations, slave conditions, people who have garments on, hats and backpacks that are made out of petroleum products, glasses, frames, people who have had white teeth whitening, people who have traveled on, you know, fuel-consuming cars to get to the climate protest. Oh, and then there's the people who have flown internationally to protest at climate protests. So sometimes I think, really? But then, of course, there's the people protesting against Amazon. Because if we can just stop Amazon from selling really cheap things online, things will get better. What's the problem? Amazon! From the people who buy from Amazon. Is someone holding a gun to your head and saying, buy from Amazon? Like, who are you protesting against? Okay. How about white nationalism is killing us on Fox News? Seen at 6 o'clock on Fox News. Is it white nationalism that's killing us? Those are the people. Really? Okay. How about China? China is expanding. This is almost like a... You just have to put like Asian people in that photo, right? It's the other Asian people that are upset about China expanding. I mean, because they're neighbors, so they would be the ones complaining about the expansion of China into all of the people around there. Because you can't have white guys complaining about China expansion, or people from England especially, because they had a whole long time of expansion. Okay. There's protests happening in Nigeria, big ones, shutting down sections of the city. Do you know why? Well, it's about the subsidy that's being taken away. The subsidy for what? So they can buy cheap fuel. So they're upset that the government, rather than clean itself up, is going to be removing a fuel subsidy because everybody wants to buy very cheap petrol so we can burn more of it. Of course, Nigeria is one of the largest petrol-producing nations in the world. So they're all upset about that. And actually, this subsidy for fuel is one of the largest things to protest about this year. People are upset from governments around the world that are removing fuel subsidies. And of course, there's Lebanon. Lebanon has actually been in protest for quite a long time. They actually have a very dysfunctional, and I'm not saying this in any kind of, you know, we're better than thou kind of way, but the government has not been serving the people very well for a number of years, and they're very upset about that. But it's actually so broken that there's not even really, it looks like, ways for them to fix themselves. The protests have been going on for so long that this is now the number one place to meet your future mate. if you live in Lebanon and you get to go out to the daily protests in Beirut, it's become the highlight of the day. You go home, you have your meal, and you head out to protest. You bring your whole family. You play fun, you games, you meet your cousins, your uncles, people like that. You meet people, you fall in love. Hey, we met at the protest. It's fantastic. It's almost like they've forgotten the reason for the protest. It's such a social occasion now. Now, Jesus said, in fact, it's said of Jesus, who is good and wants the world to be better. It says of Jesus, "Behold my servant whom I've chosen, my beloved with whom my soul is well pleased." I mean, that is the tick of approval. This is the 5-star standard of God's way. He says, "I will put my spirit on him and he will proclaim justice to Gentiles." Now, the hearers of that would think, yeah, let's get them, those Gentiles. Roman Gentiles, that's the problem. There's going to be a bit of smack handed out. Well, how is Jesus going to fix the badness of everything? Well, it says he will not quarrel or cry out. You will never hear his voice in the street. He never carries a placard that says, "Down with Romans," or "Down with Gentiles," or "Get the baddies down at the local temple." He's never against people. But he says, "A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not quench until he brings justice to victory. And in his name, the Gentiles will hope." You see, it's very, very interesting that Jesus' way of transforming the problem with the world is by changing people. I mean, how does he change people? By healing people. There's something inward that works to produce a difference in an individual, not in a nation or a corporation or a government, but he's always targeting people, and it's always by the work of his Spirit. It's like Jesus has this dream. The dream is that people are not the way that they're supposed to be. They're not following the manual that says you are made to be like this. In fact, when Jesus looked at the crowd of people that showed up for his first sermon on the Mount, it says that he said to them, "You are the salt of the earth. If salt has lost its taste, well then how can its saltiness be restored? It's no longer good for anything to be thrown up or trampled under people's feet." The reason that you're feeling like you're downtrodden and you feel like you're under the foot and you feel like it's not working is because you lost your saltiness. But you were always meant to have been salty. Jesus doesn't look at you and say, "You're nothing." He says, "You're more." And then, of course, he says something even more amazing. He says, "You're light of the world." I mean, I'm really comfortable with Jesus saying he's the light of the world, right? Aren't you? You're like, if he got out, "I'm the light." He actually did say that. So that's a good one. I'm like, "Jesus, you are the light of the world. Ain't nobody glow like you." Sorry, I'm sounding like deep sound. "Ain't nobody glow." So nobody shines like Jesus. And Jesus does not say that. He says, "You are." I mean, that's awkward. You're standing there at the foot of the hill as he's talking, giving his beatitudes, and then he says, "Hey, you are the light of the world." And you're like, "I don't feel very light." He says, "Well, the city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a stand. It gives light to all of the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they can see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." He's like, "I did not make you to be covered over. I did not make your life to be this ruin of below something. You're supposed to be on top of something. And what you are is supposed to shine to the whole world. It's supposed to be that you're more, not less." So, what can be done with unsalty salt and extinguished lights? Well, a very unfortunate thing happened to me during this week. Sometimes when I'm thinking about things, preparing my sermon, I end up picking up song lyrics. Sometimes I just read them to you. Some of you are like, "He doesn't play guitar." You're about to discover you're right. See, I got to keep these things a surprise. That's all part of the effect. You guys, you're going to have to keep up with me for a couple of slides there, Mark. The impossible dream. Jesus dreams this impossible dream for humanity. He sees something that no other person sees. And this guys who wrote this song kind of capture this. That this impossible dream of being more than you are, morally fighting, fighting for right, working hard, enduring long, being more than human. And in it, the guy who's writing, they talk about this desire as though if you could just be more, you would at last find peace. But then the last line of the song, and I'm not going to sing all the lines of the song because we'll need to get it over sooner than that. But the last line of the song is about the one who did get it right. That's good. I saw how much you guys liked Pastor Alan singing last week, and I thought, I can do that myself. It's like, it's not just funny, it's too real. He just wants to be different. But this is the whole Bible story. People aren't different. They need to be else. So Romans 3 talks about how bad it is. He says, no one's righteous. No, not one. Just in case you thought you were the one. No, not the one. No one understands. No one seeks God. All have turned aside. Together they've become worthless, saltless, lightless. No one does good, not even one. That's where we start from. A completely inclusive condemnation of entirety of humanity. We're all broken. And then just when you think, yeah, but I really try to be good. Well, Paul talks about his journey to be good. Is I know that nothing good dwells in me. Well, that's fantastic. See where you got the name apostle from. That is in my flesh. Because I have the desire to do what's right, but not the ability to carry it out. I don't do the good that I want, but the evil I do not want. That's what I keep doing. Have you ever had that? You get a vision to be different, better, patient, loving, kind, good, and you just can't. Because something gets to you somewhere along the way, and you're just like, I wanted to help you. I want to lay my hands on you. Now it's fists. I just am done. Or maybe it's yourself. You're like, I can't believe I've done the same thing again. And then you lie to yourself, and you say this, next time I will, but you don't. The Apostle Paul says, no, no, no. The problem is there's sin lying hidden within you. You need someone else's help to be different. So Paul says, this saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance, which is a pretty big way of saying, I'm telling you the absolute truth, so listen up. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But I received mercy for this reason, that in me, as the foremost, Christ might display his perfect patience as an example to those who are to believe in him for eternal life. Paul the Apostle says, I was that guy trying to be good and couldn't be good, and in my desire to be good was destroying everything. That made me a criminal twice. Not only did I hate bad people, I also was bad. So Jesus came and saved me. And he has made me now a project example, as a trophy case display of this is what Jesus does with broken people. He changes them, sends them into the world, and they are light. And so, Jesus' plan for human renewal is the Holy Spirit. Jesus speaking himself in the middle of a religious festival were full of people who sold to themselves would think, we're good, we're fine, look at us, we're doing the God things. And Jesus stands up in the crowd of people wanting to be better. And he says, on the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, if anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Now, what is he talking about? Just sort of this, you know, leaking of something? Well, he's talking specifically. He's not talking just of an allegory. He's talking about what is to come. He says, now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. For as yet the Spirit had not been given because Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus is saying, this is coming. This is the thing we read. This is it that makes you different. But listen, it's not about attacking bad people anymore. It's about you receiving a change within that makes you supernaturally different. And that supernatural difference matters. In 1 Corinthians, as we've been reading through this year, Paul says, to each. Can you just look at your neighbor and say, to each? To each. Can you just look at him again and say, that means you? Can you do that? Can you do that for me? To each. And then, like, that means you. Because remember, you were the problem before. Remember that person sitting next to you admitted that they were the problem? Like, they said it to you. They said, it's not them. It's me. I'm fessing up. They said it was them. And now they're saying they're the one who is the solution. How dare they? Look at them and say, how dare you? But you see, God has a plan and he's working it out in the church and he's doing it through the work of the Holy Spirit. And he says to each is given the manifestation, not of you, but of the him, of the Spirit for the common good. He wants the people to be the lights. He wants the people to have the salt. He wants the people to have the gifts. And then he lists off all these different, 9 different opportunities to be different. He says to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge, to another faith, to another gifts of healing, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues or those tongues. And all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Rather than just say you are going to be morally different, you are going to be supernaturally powerful. Now, let me just break this down really quick. Those things can be easily categorized into 3 different groups. There are Holy Spirit revelational gifts. That is, words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. If God wants to, and you let him, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, he will give you a gift to know something that other people can't know. That supernatural knowledge, once given through these utterances, will help to set people free and experience miracles in their lives. That's a supernatural occurrence. That's not you, that's God in you. Then there are Holy Spirit power gifts, faith, miracles, healings. All of these things, by the way, happened in the life of Jesus. He demonstrated all of them, except for the gift of tongues. But these 3, faith, miracles, and healing, are very, very practical things that the person sitting next to you needs. Their faith needs to be encouraged. They have healing that they've acquired in their body. And they need some kind of miracle, a transformation of situations. Now, when that happens, that is like a flare going off in their life. Then, of course, there are the Holy Spirit vocal gifts. That is prophecy, tongues, and the interpretation of tongues. We've talked quite a bit about that over the last couple of weeks. That God can give us the ability to give messages in other languages to be interpreted if done publicly. And gifts of prophecy so that you can speak the words of God to somebody else. Now, what I love about these things is Paul uses this, those experiences, as the experience that does something else that no one can touch. Listen to this. He says, now listen, he said in an ideal church service where everybody, well, he does say 2 or 3 because it can get out of hand. If you got a big service and there's a lot of people who want to prophesy, it can go on all day. There was a death in the New Testament because of long services. I want to avoid that, duty of care. But he talks about when it's working, this is what happens. He imagines it. He says, but if all are prophesying and an unbeliever, that's somebody doesn't know God, doesn't know that they can be different, but they also probably are wrong in lots of areas of their lives. If an unbeliever or outsider enters, he's convicted by all in the atmosphere of prophecy. And he is called to account by all in the atmosphere of prophecy. And the secrets of his heart are disclosed. And so, falling on his face, he doesn't say, I want to be a better person. He says he will worship God and declare. He will worship and declare that God is really here.
Do you know what's missing? What's missing is not people trying to tell everybody to be better. That's not missing. You probably say enough things to yourself about being better. That's not what's missing. What's missing is God. What's missing is the knowledge of God, the experience of God, the impact of God. What's missing is the supernatural, because in the supernatural, people change. Now, there's a story in the beginning of the book of Acts. So the disciples are baptized with the Holy Spirit. They go out into the streets. They preach. The church is established. So many great things are happening. Peter and John then go back to the temple. They go to the temple, and at the gate, there's a man who's been crippled since birth. They said, silver and gold, basically, we ain't got no cash, boy, but we got the power to heal. We are shining lights because we have the Holy Spirit inside of us. They don't preach. They don't tell people off. They don't tell you, oh, what's wrong with this temple? It's no good. You rejected the Christ. They don't do any of that. They just heal a guy. Throws the world into turmoil. They grab him, arrest him, pull him into jail, they rough him up. They start lecturing him. They have these big debates and stuff like that. And then Peter, in the middle of this, get this. These are the people that a couple of days ago they were all hiding from. Now Peter's standing in front of them, all of the people who are holding his fate in their hands. And he preaches this sermon. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you. The builders. Which has become the cornerstone. And there is salvation in no one else, because there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That's it. You discarded the one. There was only one. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were uneducated, common men. They were astonished. And they recognized that they'd been with Jesus. Now, here's the thing. Seeing the man who was healed standing beside them, they had nothing to say. You can't argue with miracles. It kind of makes you a bit awkward. Here they are overthrowing the political power structures of their day. Are they marching in protest against the evils? No, they just healed a guy, and now the whole thing's falling apart because everybody went, oh, it's God. Oops. Yeah. One of the guys that I spend time with, Pastor Barry Silverback, who's like a mentor to me, but to lots of other people. He's a missionary now, probably been a missionary for 45 years, maybe longer. He's been in Papua New Guinea and now planted several hundreds of churches up there and now working internationally. But he told me the story, and it's actually in his book if you ever get a chance to read it. But he told me this story about an experience that he had where he'd gone bush. He would regularly just go, you know, feel called by God to some remote area and hike there, canoe and hike. So he goes in this remote area. He goes into the village, and he's trying to preach the gospel. Now, if you don't know Papua New Guinea, there's a lot of Christianizing in a sense of religion happening. But it didn't change anybody, right? So he goes in this village, and there's Christianized things about it, but their people are still as hard to God and as broken as ever. So he wants to preach the gospel of Jesus to this tribe. So he waits and he gets a chance and they come together. And before he begins, God says to him, there's a little girl here who's had an argument with her mother this morning and really offended her, and she needs to ask her mom for forgiveness. It's a word of knowledge. Pastor Barry says, that doesn't sound like a lot. Like, that doesn't sound like, I'm trying to preach the gospel here. You're telling me a little girl had an argument. Like, everybody's having an argument. Just like saying, who's got back pain? Like, it's just happening. So he's like, and the Holy Spirit's on him, say this. So he gets up and he says, all right, God has told me there's a girl here who's been arguing with her mother and she needs to ask forgiveness. Well, there's awkwardness for about 5 minutes. Nobody comes out. Then after 5 minutes, this little girl comes up with her mother. I'm the one. I was arguing with my mom, showing disrespect. So it's me. So then he says, he just preaches and the meeting goes like normal. Nothing happens. Then he's in his tent that night, trying to sleep. And there's a canvas knock. It's in the middle of the night.
You need to come with us.
Uh-oh. They drag him, well, invite him out of his tent. March him several hundred meters into the dense growth of the forest. And he's thinking, I'm about to lose my head. Because it's happened in Papua New Guinea. When he gets into the bush, he finds all the elders of the village meeting together around a fire. They've been discussing what has happened all night. And they said to him, if God knows what a little girl has said to her mother, then he knows everything that's been happening in this village, and we all need to repent. Now, if Pastor Barry had preached a sermon about children obey your parents, he would have had some response, but not the heart. A word of knowledge that makes people go, oh, but God has been here the whole time, makes people go, I need to start taking him seriously because I didn't know he was here until just now. That's why the manifestation of the Spirit is so important. And here, my friends, seek the baptism of the Holy Spirit and seek to use the gifts. Because when you use the gifts, it's not lectures and bits of truth and wise counsel. It's people suddenly going, oh, God's here and he loves me. Then when people turn to us, now here's the great thing. That revolutionizes society and changes the them. When I receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and bring them to the world changes. But we have to pursue it and not forget him and rely on the leading of the Holy Spirit. Now, can I just say this? There are people who have been baptized with the Holy Spirit here for years, but you've stopped using those gifts. You've stopped using those, looking for words of knowledge, prophecies, you know, wisdom, gifts of healing and faith. You've stopped that. Or maybe some of you are like, I don't know how to start. You need to be practicing. It's like a river flowing. It flows a bit at the beginning, and as it starts to flow, it starts to really rush. And the more you're practicing, the more you'll do. And the more you do, the more light goes in the community, and the more change happens in the world. So let's pray. Father, today, in this moment, we recognize that you're here. Maybe we've forgotten that you're here. Maybe we've, I don't know, become desensitized. We somehow forget that you are awesome and powerful and present, and that you have given the gift of your Holy Spirit to the whole world. But you work through believers so that we can manifest your presence. Holy Spirit, we pray and ask for your forgiveness for any kind of hardening that we've had or lack of engagement in your work. Lord, we pray that you would encourage us again to seek to use the miraculous gifts that you have on offer to give through us, that you give us faith, courage, boldness, that you give us a deep conviction that you are going to bring the word, bring the miracle as we step out in faith. And Father, we pray, Lord, that you would right now encourage every person that does not know you or has not been baptized with your Spirit to pursue you, to know that you are here, you're real, and that you love them, but you also want to change them through the work that only you can do. So, Lord, we pray for faith and engagement with the work of your Spirit, Lord. Draw us closer into this, we pray, in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to this message. For more information about Hope Central or to contact us, please head to hopecentral.org.au. And if you listen to us on iTunes, why not rate us? It helps others to find this podcast. And if you're a Facebooker, head to our Facebook profile at Hope Central Australia, where you can like and share. And maybe you can look at all the great pictures of all the great things happening.